Hey friends, how are you doing? Here we are again, live through the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. We are live. We're streaming, man. I don't know how many notifications Face Crooks is going to send out there, but hopefully it will find your mind and you'll be able to see the content and be with us in this session. Before we get into her, I'm simply going to share this podcast, this pod vlog, episode 51, over to another few of our venues here or our platforms. Let's share to one of our pages. Yeah, let's do that. Post. Thank you, Face Crooks. Now let's share to one of our Facebook groups. Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. There we go. We got her going. We got her going. Stefan Maya is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website you want to check out, you want to be a part of. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We want to look into the deeper things of the scriptures. We want to study the Bible, right? We want to rightly handle God-breathed literature. We want the interpretation of the author therein to be revealed. It is our responsibility, first and foremost, daily, to read, study, and believe the words in the scriptures. Now we find ourselves here in Pod Vlog episode 51, and I titled this one, Seek Ye First. That, of course, is familiar to a song we sing, isn't it? A song we sing that is scripturally based in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to be precise, to be accurate. And so our text for this session is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through verse 34. And we're going to read the text, and then we'll discuss among each other here what's taking place. Does that sound fair to you? I hope so. So, Matthew chapter 6. And before we get into it, I'd like to address concern from many of our viewers, those who follow us, saying that we've not been seeing your videos on our news feed or here or there. Friends, you need to understand something. Facebook has marked us. They have suppressed us. They are, they have removed our freedom of notification and news feed. They no longer allow individuals most to see our content. So you actually have to go out of your way and look for it. And you can find it on the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. And if you can't go there, you just keep looking at the website, addedsouls.com, and you'll find some links that should bring you to various platforms we operate. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, what else do we have? Vimeo, Subscribestar, Patreon, and of course this Face Crook here, and all of them are not friendly with the gospel. But Facebook is where we've had the greater reach, so naturally they've jailed us numerous times for violating their hate speech laws and community standards. And it's always along the lines of when you preach against homosexuality or pro-choice, abortion, or Islam. Whenever you mention those three, chances are you can get in trouble. And we have been getting in trouble in the past many times over these things. So again, we apologize that you may not be seeing our content, but please know it's not because of us. It's Facebook is, and we have all the screenshots of their threats and their I don't know what you call it, I guess, giving us the orders they've decreed against us. I tell you. Anywho, with that aside, now you know. Good morning, Mel. It's always a pleasure to see you with us here on the comment thread. We find ourselves over here at 11:20 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time on the East Coast of Canada. The East Coast of Canada, New Brunswick, Canada. I, of course, am a minister for the Riverview Church of Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. Riverview Church of Christ. This simply means there's a church, a congregation, a small group of individuals who have obeyed the gospel and want to try to be faithful every day in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. We belong to Jesus Christ. So naturally, it's going to be called the church that belongs to Jesus Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. We are the source you wish to find for rightly handled scripture because we are autonomous. We have no earthly headquarters. We do not belong to any other, and we just have the Bible as our instruction. That's it. We don't have any creeds. We don't have any manuals. We don't have anything like that. We just have the Bible, and we do things the Bible way. So by all means, if you would love to come and be with us, by all means, please do. We'd love nothing but to be with you and study the scriptures and worship God. We do not belong to any denomination. We are not a denomination. Some have tried to label us a denomination, but they've never proven or given evidence of the fact. We simply are what the church was and should be scripturally revealed, right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said he'd build his church. It was built on the day of Pentecost, Sunday, in Jerusalem, during the reign of the Roman Empire, with great outpouring power from on high, the Holy Spirit upon chosen vessels, the 12 apostles. They delivered the conditions, the qualifying conditions in which we could become now citizens of his church, the church Jesus built. See, this church was birthed from the mind of God. It was prophesied by the prophets of old. It was promised by the Christ. It was purchased by his blood. And now it is practiced by our faith. And that is the church we are. And we'd love for you to come find out about the church Jesus built thousands of years ago before any denomination walked the earth. That's what it's all about, right? We say hi to our brother there, Caleb, watching live, a little late to the stream. No worries, we haven't actually started yet, as per se. We're just in the introduction. Our brother here, Caleb, is a member of the Riverview Church of Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. So we are looking into Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, titled Seek Ye First. And let's just read the text, and again, we'll go into it afterwards, okay? Starting in verse 25 here. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, verse 26, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why, verse 28, are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, in verse 29, that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God, verse 30, so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, verse 31, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, in verse 32, eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, our key verse here, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Kingdom and righteousness. So do not worry, in verse 34, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through... What did I put down there? I think I put it wrong. We want to get into the context. That's what I got described here. So, what we just read there was Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 24, Jesus is rebuking their outward display of religion. Okay, it's important we understand what's going on here. For it has no inward dwelling with faith, this outward display that he was rebuking. They're putting on a show instead of truly living a God-filled mind. These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. They were outwardly praying, okay, which is supposed to be a connection between man and God. They were being benevolent, connection between man and his fellow man, and fasting, connection with oneself, sacrifice and meditation, in order to be recipient on what rightfully belongs to God. They were doing these things. They had hijacked these things as a show, an outward portrayal, but it wasn't authentic or genuine. It wasn't real. They were doing it, and these things were rightfully belonging to God, something personal, innocent, and true. Their intentions were not pure, proper, clean, or righteous. They were actors, hypocrites, playing an act for their spectators. They wanted to be seen as something they were not, and this made them unproductive for the cause of the Christ. They would not even forgive their brother when called for. Sad indeed. Sad indeed. You see, outwardly acting religious might store up all sorts of wealth for us, praise and worldly comfort. If your goal in life is directed towards self, then self will compromise with the world in order to accumulate more outward appearance. In other words, bigger numbers in the assembly, a larger following, etc., etc., etc. But it will not generate eternal life. See, that's the thing it does not produce, this act, this pretending, this outward display of an emotional kind of reception, you know, when it comes to praying and fasting and benevolence and all these things. It's just not where it's at, where they were doing it in a very false way. But if that's your goal, which is the goal of many of these demon nations out here, the denominations, you'll receive the praise of men, but it won't generate eternal life. That's what it is. The wages of sin is death, and so there's no eternal life through that way. And the reason it will not be producing eternal life is because it makes one worry about more about what is outwardly, you know, food, drink, and clothing, instead of what is inwardly, heavenly wealth, spiritual blessings, the things that are more, that are important for our spiritual survival. And so, Christ transitions this teaching into the following text, which is what we read, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, in which our session here is found this day. So from verse 25, what it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Is Christ saying that physical life, food, drink, and clothes are not important? Well, of course not. He's not saying that, okay? We have to pay attention again to the context, which is why we laid down a bit of foundation there from the previous verses of that chapter. He's speaking a matter of priority. He's speaking of a matter of priority. People of the world, those Christ was addressing as being actors, though thought that the They thought that the pursuit of outward indulgence had more importance than the pursuit of inward faith utilized to please God. Okay, that's why they would put on a show when they would pray, they would fast, or they would give to the poor. The breath you have in your lungs takes precedence over the food you digest and the clothes you wear. Granted, it takes food in order to keep our lungs breathing, but food is not the source of importance. It is but a tool to be used properly so as to keep the lungs breathing for Christ. If the Church of Christ and doing what is right is the source of priority, then the Church of Christ and doing what is right will make sure we eat food. Okay, that's what's taking place there in verse 25. And in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? We were created in the image of God. Animals were not created in the image of God. And the image of God is eternal. And so we are much more important than they, for they cannot store up heavenly wealth, and yet still they are well taken care of regarding food, drink, and covering. And that's something that's greatly missing in today's understanding, today's generation, because folks think they're animals and animals are more important than human beings. That's just not the case. A small excursion there, noteworthy for you to be sure to recognize, hear, and understand the teachings of the Christ. We were created in the image of God, eternal. We will never, ever, ever die. Now, either that eternity will be in a good place, heaven, or in a bad place, hell. But we never die. The soul lives on. See, that's the created in his image, everlasting from this point going forward. And so we're more important than the animals because the animals don't have that. They don't have a soul. Okay. Verse 27 says, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" Now, again, Christ is not saying don't worry about your bills, don't pay your bills, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That they'll take care of themselves. No, they won't. They will not take care of themselves, okay? We see our sister here, Cheryl, with us on the comment thread. Good to see you, Cheryl. We're in Matthew chapter 6 here, and we're just talking about a section that's most important. Seek ye first the kingdom, right? So verse 27 is not saying don't pay your bills, don't take your responsibilities, don't do this, don't do that, don't go to work, blah, 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 blah. No, absolutely not. That's not what's taking place. Now, in verse 28, 29, and 30, it says, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, that they do not toil, nor do they spin." Verse 29, "Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these." Verse 30, "But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith," right? So ultimately, the big picture. Can worrying about keeping up with the Joneses ever extend your life on this earth? Well, no. It won't. Some have made being physically healthy more important than being spiritually healthy. Listen, you still have an expiration date. It don't matter how healthy you are. And I'm not against being healthy. I think we should be healthy people. I think we should exercise. I think we should watch what we eat. I mean, I think it's important. The longer we can keep these physical bodies healthy, the more time we have to share the good news of Christ. So don't take this to mean that there's no worth in our physical bodies. I'm speaking about some have made it a priority over their spiritual well-being, meaning it's all about jogging, running, eating right, and having that kind of mindset, but eternally, in their spiritual soul, they're very unhealthy. I mean, they're not headed towards heaven. So what good is it to leave this earth in a healthy body if you're going to be spiritually unhealthy for the rest of your life in torment? I mean, you know, that's the thing. If even what blossoms today and is mowed down the very next can receive what it needs to have had life, the lilies, right? Again, how much more will we, created in his image, be taken care of if we simply read, study, rightly divide, and apply, obey the Bible? If God can take care of these things that are here today and gone tomorrow, that have no, that were not created in the eternal sense with a soul, then what's going on, right? Birds, flowers, and grass, all taken care of because they know who they belong to. How much more will we be taken care of if we simply recognize who we belong to? That's important stuff right there. Our lack of recognizing this very fact, displays our lack of faith. Lack of faith is the reason some Christians think the church is a social club for social activities. And being social with the gospel somehow holds more spiritual importance than Bible studies, accurately learning the word of God and obeying in love the instructions therein. And so the community does not identify us as the light on top of the hill, but rather just another fun house where everyone goes to heaven one day, no matter what you really believe about anything. It shouldn't be that way. We need to stop worrying about what the world thinks about us. Faithful Christians need to stop worrying about what unfaithful Christians think about us. We don't allow the worldly among us dictate a standard contrary to the word of God. We need to stop worrying about pleasing the world and start worrying about pleasing God. That's important. Verse 31 then says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?" Stop worrying about what the world wants you to worry about. It'll have you in fear of everything. This verse is not speaking, of course, about worrying to make ends meet. We need to be responsible. We need to work. Worrying about putting food on the table is not the idea behind this context, okay? Gentile society and culture would make food, drink, and clothing a matter of fashion and status. The greater extravagance within the art of eating, drinking, and clothing is what drove these people into outward and useless endeavors. And because of that, they dedicated the standard, or they dictated the standard in which religious people should be displayed. Hence, the hypocrisy of those praying, being benevolent, and fasting. We see the same today, don't we? Of course we do. Look at the amount of cooking shows out there, and look at the amount of fashion shows out there, house shows, keeping up with the Joneses. Look at how the world wants religion to look, speak, and act like. This culture, like theirs, hasn't changed all that much. We embrace consumerism. We embrace denominationalism. We can shop at the click of a button. We can drain the credit cards in less than 1 minute. And this creates a massive amount of anxiety in the individual mind and home. It has been the cause of debt, divorce, unemployment, depression, idleness, and apathy in the church for decades. All sorts of negative results. It's a lack of priority. We've lost the ability to prioritize what the Bible has told us to prioritize. See, the Gentiles lavished in the riches of the world. To them, food, drink, and clothing was of the utmost importance. Utmost importance. Should that be the case for Christians? Sadly, for most in the congregation, that's the kind of mind they have. They've allowed that deception to creep in. Well, here's the remedy. Here's the remedy to that threat, if you will. Verse 33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You seek his kingdom. It belongs to Christ, right? It's his church, his people. You seek the church that belongs to Jesus Christ and his righteousness, his standard of right and wrong. Not our standard of right and wrong, his standard of right and wrong. And how do we do that? Well, through the instruction of his perfect and fulfilled word, God breathed, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, the 66 books of the Holy Bible. Everyone who was following Christ regarding his teaching of the kingdom, were they not fed? Were they not clothed? Well, of course. That's the point. If the first thing you do in life each day is to search out the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, to obey its conditions of entrance, to be faithful within it, to be productive within it. The church of Christ, we here today, the assembly, the family, the body, the congregation, God will make sure none of us go without food, drink, clothing, and lodging. It's not a free ride. It's not to be taken advantage of. It is to sustain life in Christ so as to do his will. And to do his will pleases him. Okay? So we need not worry like the world worries over outward things. We have peace in Christ when we seek his church first each day. Seek ye first the kingdom is a verse which gives us practical insight into God's standard of judgment. And so, to practice this verse properly, we ask ourselves some questions. Naturally, does being here this day as an outward display of a religious person make us inwardly faithful? Well, no. If the first reason we are here today is for someone or something other than Jesus Christ, when we are gathered to worship him on a Sunday, the first day of the week, we're going to miss paradise. We need to understand what we're doing. For we've been bought by the fluff of men, if we allow such a thing, and not by the binding word of God. We can be the most social active congregation on the block, fill our calendars with all sorts of hangouts, but if we're not in the word of God, we fail to seek ye first. Does dating and marrying unbelievers or unfaithful Christians line up within or with seeking first the kingdom of God? Does it further grow the kingdom and please God when we put ourselves in compromising situations or such magnitude as a lifelong union with another person? See, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Does forsaking the assembly in habitual manner line up with seeking first the kingdom of God? Does hanging around bad company? What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of movies do we watch? We need to kind of size up things with Matthew 6:33. Will it hinder us from seeking first the kingdom? If so, we need to remove it. We need to remove it. Many, 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 many Christians who have married a non-Christian have lost their faith. We need to think of these things. We need to think of these things. In our concluding remarks here, if you will, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I quote now, "For I have learned," well, how? Well, educated in the Word of God, right? "For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, rich or poor, therewith to be content." That's verse 11. Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed." Well, by what? Again, the Word of God, the Bible. "Both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Well, how? Again, through the teachings of Christ found in the Bible. I don't need to worry when I'm content, because whatever comes my way, the Word of God will instruct me to remain on course. It will come to my comfort. If we are content with what God provides, we won't have to worry about tomorrow, because today has enough to worry about all of its own. When we decided to let go our past lives, God took care of us. Well, why? Because we sought his kingdom and righteousness first. Friends, if you're tired of worrying about the afterlife, and if you're going to paradise or torment, if you this day seek his church and his commands, you need to repent and be immersed in water with his authority for the forgiveness of your sins. He will add you to his kingdom. And through his words in the Bible, he will teach you to remain faithful therein. If you choose to be made right with God this very day, by all means, please do so. Reach out to us if we can help in any way, shape, or form. It's important. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. and all these things will be added to you. To you. Stefan Maia is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website you have to, you should check out. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive. We certainly appreciate your attention, your kind attention. We have to allow ourselves humbleness. You know, we have to be humble with the text and what it says, the scriptures. And it is our duty and commanded walk to prioritize. Spiritual matters are of most importance in this life. And seeking first the church, the kingdom that belongs to Jesus Christ, is of most importance. His righteousness, what is right, his standard of judgment, and his church, friends, we must seek it first every day. His church exists, of course. It's real. It's alive and well. We, the congregation that belongs to Jesus Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada, try our best every week, every day, to follow our master. And you are certainly warmly welcomed. We'd be honored to have you with us. Okay, till we meet again next time, Lord willing, and God bless.